Perfect. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Magnolia Public Schools regular Board of Directors meetings. My name is Jennifer Lara. I'm the Executive Assistant and Board Secretary for Magnolia Public Schools. Before we begin, a couple of reminders. First, this meeting is being recorded. Second, if you're a member of the public and you wish to give a comment during the public comment section of this meeting, you're more than welcome to state your name. If it is something that you feel uncomfortable in doing so, you do not have to state your name. However, as a reminder to our staff and board, please state your name before giving your comment or your question. And with that, we'll officially open up today's Magnolia Public Schools Board of Directors meetings. The day is Thursday, December 9th, 2021. The time is 7:04 p.m. With that, I ask Mr. Mohamedov if you may please call the meeting to order.
Yes, thank you, Jennifer. This is Mekan Mohamedov. I would like to call the regular Magnolia Public Schools Board meeting to an order.
Thank you, Mr. Mohamedov. With that, I'll establish quorum. Ms. Covarrubias?
Here.
Thank you, Dr. Yapano?
Here.
Thank you, Dr. Dikbash? Ms. Gonzalez?
Here.
Thank you, Mr. Mohamedov?
Yeah.
Thank you to our board members. We have quorum to continue tonight's meeting. Next, we'll move on to the approval of agenda. The motion is to approve the agenda as presented. Would a board member like to move the motion?
I'll make the motion, Covarrubias.
Thank you, Ms. Covarrubias. Is there a second?
Seconded, Mekan.
Thank you, Mr. Mohamedov. With that, I'll take roll call vote. Ms. Covarrubias?
Yes.
Thank you, Dr. Yapano?
Yes.
Yes, thank you. Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mohamedov.
Yes.
Yes, thank you to our board members. The agenda has been approved as presented. Next, we'll move on to public comments. As a reminder, you're given 3 minutes to state your comments, 6 minutes if translation is needed. If a member of the public would like to make a comment, you may unmute yourself now. Oh, sorry, Dr. Olipis, I muted you accidentally.
Okay. good afternoon, good evening, everyone. Dr. Brenda Lopez, Chief External Officer, Magnolia Public Schools. I am here to publicly acknowledge the donation by Dr. Dikbash. He donated out of his own individual give of $2,000 to Magnolia Science Academy San Diego. And as part of that, his give was actually matched by Qualcomm. So I just wanted to publicly acknowledge that, and also to continue to encourage as part of our commitment and development work for our board members to also continue to give individually, and if not giving, getting either funding sources or also connecting us to resources and programs as you continue to do. So thank you again. And that is it for me.
Thank you for that, Dr. Lopez. Is there anyone else from the public that would like to make a public comment?
Hi, this is Principal Sears and Regional Director Gokhan Sears from San Diego.
Hi, Mr. Sears.
I want to also thank Dr. Dikbash for his donation, and also I want to thank all of our San Diego community to help us reach our goal to upgrade our water fountain filling station. So we exceeded our target of $15,000, and hopefully our facilities team is working on and helping us with that process so that we can have new water water bottle filling stations at two different points on our campus. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Mr. Sears. Is there anyone else from the public that would like to make a public comment? Perfect. If there's no other public comments, then we'll move forward with the agenda. Next are the announcements from the CEO and superintendent and board members. I'll turn this over to Mr. Rubalcaba.
Thank you, Jen. Good evening, MPS Board of Directors, Magnolia staff and community members, Alfredo Rubalcaba, CEO, Superintendent of Magnolia Public Schools. I just wanted to quickly wish all of you, as we get closer in this holiday season, a great time that we're going to have as you know, a community, and there's quite a bit happening at the school. So you will receive some invites, you know, to many events at the school site. So look out for that. And I also wanted to turn it over to Dr. Lopez, our chief external officer, to talk about some good news that does entail collaboration, which has been one of Magnolia's staples since we founded our first school in 2002. So I'm going to turn it over to Dr. Lopez to give us that good news. Dr. Lopez.
Thank you. So this was also announced during our stakeholder development and stakeholder committee meeting, but I also wanted to bring this item to tonight's meeting. And thank you, Ms. Rubalcaba, for acknowledging the work and collaboration. So most recently, we were informed that our organization was awarded the MTSS Phase 3 funding and grant, and all of that is an opportunity to continue our systems and sustain our work and success when it comes to multi-tiered systems of support. And as I mentioned in the committee meeting, I just wanted to thank our principals and our department leads and everyone who worked on it, specifically Mr. Soto, who led the effort, and working with our chief academic officer and Mr. Yilmaz as well with this work. The amount that was awarded was more than 500,000 for all of our schools. So that work is gonna continue, and we're just really excited that this is just a testament that when we make something a priority and we join efforts, we can make it happen. So looking forward to the continued work.
Thank you, Dr. Lopez. No further updates from me. I will turn it over back to Jen.
Thank you, Mr. Rubalcaba. Is there any announcements that our board members would like to make at this time? Perfect. If not, we'll move forward with the agenda next with section 2, information discussion items, starting with 2A, public hearing for educator effectiveness block grant plans for all MPS. This will be presented by Mr. Yilmaz, our chief accountability officer.
Good evening, dear board members, colleagues at the home office, and principals out there and our community members. This agenda item is about the educator effectiveness block grant plans for all Magnolia Public Schools. The state of California is providing these funds to LEAs to provide professional learning and to promote educator equity, quality, and effectiveness. So as Magnolia Schools, we are receiving about $835,000. And as a condition of this grant, we are required to have a public hearing like this, where we explain our plans and gather feedback from the community. And then at a subsequent board meeting, have the plan approved by the board, which will be on the next Thursday's meeting. As a condition of this grant, again, we will be reporting by every September 30th, an annual expenditure report detailing how we are using these funds. And we have 5 years to use this grant. So until September 30th, 2026. We worked closely with our school leadership teams in developing this plan. And now I'm gonna turn it over to our Director of State and Federal Programs, Dr. Omar Polat, to go over allowable uses of funds and in general, how Magnolia has planned to use these funds. And then we will call on two principals to go over their plans in detail. So Dr. Polat, if you are ready, let's go over how these funds can be used.
Thank you, Mr. Yama. Sorry, Dr. Polat, before we continue for minutes purposes, Dr. Dikpesh joined us at 7:13 p.m. Good evening, Dr. Dikpesh.
Good evening, everyone. Sorry for joining late, I apologize.
No worries. Go for it, Dr. Polat.
Good evening. Thank you, Mr. Yilmaz. As you mentioned, it's a one-time funding provided to County Office of Education, school districts, and charter schools like us, and state special schools to provide professional learning for teachers, administrators, paraprofessionals, and classify staff in order to promote educator equity, quality, and effectiveness. As you said, it's a one-time funding. It's not a stimulus fund that came with ARP, American Rescue Plan. This is to promote, of course, the leadership and then to increase the effectiveness of our teachers and administrators who work directly with the students. There are 10 areas of use for this plan, and I'm going to read them really quickly if everyone is okay. One, coaching and mentoring of staff serving in an instructional setting and beginning teacher or administrator induction, including but not limited to coaching and mentoring solutions that address a local need for teachers that can serve all pupil populations with a focus on retaining teachers and offering structured feedback and coaching systems organized around social emotional learning, including but not limited to promoting teacher self-awareness, self-management, social awareness, relationships, and responsible decision-making skills, improving teacher attitudes and beliefs about oneself and others, and supporting learning communities for educators to engage in a meaningful classroom teaching experience. Number two, programs that lead to effective standards align instruction and improve instruction and literacy across all subject areas, including English language arts, history, social science, science, technology, engineering, mathematics, and computer science. And number three, practices and strategies that re-engage pupils and lead to accelerated learning. Number four, strategies to implement social emotional learning, trauma-informed practices, suicide prevention, access to mental health services, and other approaches that improve pupil well-being. And number five, practices to create a positive school climate, including but not limited to restorative justice, training around implicit bias, providing positive behavioral support, multi-tiered systems of support, which we call MTSS, as you know, transforming a school site's culture to one that values diverse cultural and ethnic backgrounds, and preventing discrimination, harassment, bullying, and intimidation based on an actual or perceived characteristics, including disability, gender, gender identity, gender expression, language, nationality, race or ethnicity, religion or sexual orientation. And number six, strategies to improve inclusive practices, including but not limited to universal design for learning, best practices for early identification and development of individualized education programs for individuals with exceptional needs, which we also call special education population or special education students. Number seven, instruction and education to support implementing effective language acquisition programs for English learners, which may include integrated language development within and across content areas and building and strengthening capacity to increase bilingual and biliterate proficiency. And number eight, new professional learning networks for educators not already engaged in an education-related professional learning network to support the requirements of subdivision. And number nine, instruction, education, and strategies to incorporate ethnic studies curricula adopted pursuant to Education Code Section 5122.6.7 into pupil instruction for grades 7 to 12 inclusive. And we have one school already doing that. And last but not least, instruction, education, and strategies for certificated and classified educators in early childhood education and or childhood development, which currently doesn't apply to any of our campuses. So going over these, what we did with school leaders, all of the principals and deans of academics, we met a few times to discuss the use of these funds. And then as you see here, the amounts are calculated based on the number of full-time equivalent employees, whether they are certificated or classified, last year, and then they multiplied that number by a coefficient of, it was like $2,415, and then they came up with these numbers. So it's basically based on the teaching staff and educators in the school setting times $2,400 approximately, and each school is getting this amount. As Mr. Yilmaz said, we have around $835,000 for the entire MPS organization. And then this amount needs to be spent within 5 years. Doesn't have to be equally spent. It can be all spent this year, last year, in the middle, doesn't really matter. And then there is no submission of this plan there is only like annual requirement of submission of the expenditures from the finance department to CDE, and that would be it. We only need to make sure that the expenditures are falling under one of those 10 areas. And then that's how we did with the principals and deans of academics in our meetings at the home office. Can we scroll down a little bit? Okay, so as you had received the Black grant plans for every school, it's the CDE didn't provide any template. We came up with this template and it was provided to our principals and deans in our DTS document tracking system, and they were all able to collaborate and fill out the forms together. We conducted office hours 3 times. We met with all of them. We provided help with them. We met with them in person with some of them. And then finally, everyone was able to craft these plans and they are ready for this meeting, public hearing. And there is one more requirement of a board meeting, which is going to be next Thursday. That is the adoption meeting. And after that, we will be done. The requirement is just having those 2 meetings before December 30. And then the amounts, 80% of the amounts were already delivered to schools, and the rest of it, 20%, will be delivered in the spring of 2022, within 1, 2 to 3 months next year. With that, we have 2 principals who volunteered tonight to go over their plans. And I would like to call for Laura, our principal from Magnolia Science Academy Bell. Laura, are you online?
Yes, I am. Good evening. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
We can hear you.
Perfect. Good evening, board. My name is Laura Schlottman, and I'm one of the newest additions to the principal team here, but it's been a really great exercise for me to work along the side here of Dr. Pollitt. I think I bombarded him multiple times, so I know he's been very willing and supportive through this entire process. I'm really proud of the work that we have in front of us. I think you can see my document here, but I can't see the specifics, but I will start is just explaining the process that kind of took place in developing this plan. First of all, was really understanding the criteria and how the funds could be used. So that was really important, because I know that when you know you have these funds available, you want to put them in different areas and allocate them, you know, in different various ways. But when you understand that it's a one-time funds, you have to be very intentional about how we're utilizing it. So for us, it was very important to really look at our current situation and pivot, use these funds to help us get through the rest of the year, but also to create a plan to set us up for success. So one of the things that I know that we are missing currently at Bell is our department chair. So we don't currently have department chairs. We have grade level chairs, and we have MPSS coordinators, which are teacher leaders that have a full teaching load. But when we wanted to talk about developing those core subjects and core electives that we used to offer in the past in terms of STEM activities and projects, we understood that happened oftentimes at the department level. So that's one of the pieces that we want to invest more money in. We want to develop our department chairs so that they not only collaborate, but also support and mentor teachers. Each one of the specific department chairs, currently we have four new teachers. So the department chairs would be supporting their individual department teachers. Another area that we wanted to focus, not just at the very individual, but also at the whole school, whole staff level. We understand the limitations of our administrators right now. We do have 4 administrators, and typically on a regular year, every single one of us would be in the classrooms providing immediate feedback and coaching, and we have a great model and we use Teach Booth. But unfortunately, my team is being split right now. My dean of academics is having to run also our independent studies program, which is taking her away from being in the classroom to coach and mentor. And then with the COVID regulations and vaccination regulations, I'm being pulled as a principal to take care of these very important policy so that we can be in compliance. So given that, we want to still provide that coaching for our teachers, which is why we are interested in this, in the contractor, which comes to our campus, and their main sole focus is to support our teachers, to observe them, to give them the feedback they need. It's not in terms about evaluating them, but more about growing and really developing our teachers. And the last thing that I'll focus on is our administration, our admin team. I really want to build our own capacity so that my team, I have six staff administrators in my cabin per se. And so I would love to develop them and to ensure that we have a united alignment and a strong vision to help us and carry us through the remaining year and beyond that. So hopefully, if you have any questions, I would love the opportunity to respond to any of your specific questions, but I'd love to give James the opportunity to also share his plan with you. Thank you for the opportunity to speak tonight.
Thank you, Laura, I appreciate it. As you see, majority of her planning items fall under the coaching, which is one of the primary purpose of this grant. And then she is doing it internally in addition to bringing some consultants from outside of her school, which is also allowable. Now we would like to hear from another wonderful principal, the principal of MSA 6, Mr. James Choi.
Good evening, everybody. My name is James Choi. I'm the principal at MSA 6, which has been relocated to the mid-city area. Our educator effectiveness block plan is also going to focus on focus area number one, which is coaching and mentoring as well. And we did a workshop last year during distance learning through Kagan Institute. And it was a pretty good workshop, even though it was on Zoom. And 2 weeks ago, I had asked teachers about this, like, hey, what kind of workshops and coaching and mentoring do you guys want to do? So I surveyed the teachers. They didn't really have someone to, they didn't have any ideas on where we should spend this money. So I did bring up Kagan once again, and they remembered about it, and they were all for it as well too. So we're going to be focusing on spending our money on the Kagan Institute, which has these Kagan strategies to help make our classes become more student-centered. More participation from the students and more engagement is the goal through these workshops. We're going to be investing in a five-day workshop where we do one workshop per semester starting from next fall. And in between these sessions, we're also going to have Kagan coaches come to our school and give all of our teachers feedback on the Kagan strategies that they were taught during the workshop. This is going to be a 2.5-year plan, almost a 3-year plan. And I'm framing it to the teachers that this is something that we can utilize as kind of like a tool, another tool for you to have in order to reach out to the kids to be able to just have a much more engaging class. And the teachers really liked it. They understand that this is a heavy PD, heavy workshop that we're providing for them. And they really liked the idea of having the coaches come to our campus because if I coach them or if someone else coaches them, you know, we're all kind of seeing each other every single day. It could get a little weird, but it's nice to have an outside organization come to our school and give us their feedback, what they see. And because they are specifically looking at things from the Kagan strategies, I think they are best suited to give them feedback on their own practices, the Kagan strategies that they are going to provide. So I do have all this in the DTS website that Dr. Pilat is sharing right now. If you go ahead and click on that link, you can also learn a little bit more about the Kagan online strategies. In addition to all this, I am also trying to coordinate with a few other schools as well too, to bring the cost of the workshop down and so that we could put more money into the coaching so that we can have them come at least once a semester, but I would really like to have them come at least 2 times. So that's our current plan for right now. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Choi. And one of the areas that was not mentioned here that some of our schools are using is the providing a BITSA, which is an induction program to clear the credentials of our teachers as well as our administrators. That is also, that can also be paid through these funds. And as mentioned before, after this meeting, there will be an adoption meeting next week. And if it is adopted, then we will be able to use those funds and until the end of 2025-26 academic year, we are required to spend all of the money. If there is any unspent money left, then we have to pay them back to CDE. And then we only have an annual expenditure report requirement, which is the only one. As long as our expenditures fall under any of those 10 categories, we can use those funds accordingly. If there's any questions, concerns, I'm here to respond.
Thank you, Dr. Pollitt. With that, is there any questions or comments from the members of the public?
And Jen, this is David Yilmaz again, Chief Accountability Officer. So if there is any member of the public out there who would like to see a plan of a different Magnolia schools, we would be happy to project it or provide it to you. And your input is really appreciated.
Thank you, Mr. Yilmaz.
Jen, this is Principal Source from MSA San Diego. And any of our community members who would like to reach out to us to discuss any details, you can always call our office or email us. I want to thank our team for providing us that support to prepare this wonderful grant plan so that we can provide more mentor teachers and coaching and SEL support for our community. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sears. As mentioned, is there anyone from the community that would like to request pulling up a plan for a specific school site? Perfect. If there is no one, then board members, I'll turn it to you if you have any questions or comments regarding this item.
Perfect. I have a question. Sorry. Is there a way we can get some type of feedback from the teachers after they've gone through the coaching sessions to see their development and see how, if it's working, and just for our sake, please?
Thank you very much, Ms. Kovorobias. That's an excellent question and feedback. We have a lot of work to do, actually. I mean, we put that on the plan, right? We will be coaching our teachers, but that definitely takes a lot of training for our coaches about how to train, because we already have coaches at our home office level too within the academic department. So there will be coordination about, you know, how coaching will be done, how often, which topics, method of coaching, all of those. There is heavy work waiting for us, for the academic team to work on it, plan it, coordinate it, get feedback and all of those. And Mr. Ajar, if you would like to chime in, please feel free to do so. Yes, we will be evaluating this plan each year, how the coaching is going, whether it's being effective and all of those.
Is there a way you can probably bring into the academic team or the whole board, if they don't mind, just so that we can learn from anything, for, you know, if it's helping our teachers and we can get more help if not, yeah. Please?
Absolutely. Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Covarrubias. Is there any further questions or comments from our board members? Perfect. If not for this item, no action will be taken for this item since it's just an information discussion item. So next on the agenda, we'll move on to 2B, MPS Annual Authorizer Oversight Report. This will also be presented by Mr. Yilmaz, our Chief Accountability Officer.
Good evening again, David Yilmaz, Chief Accountability Officer. So as you know, all of our schools were visited by our authorizers last year, and those are the dates. And as we receive oversight reports from our authorizers, we bring them to the board for discussion. On the next page, you're gonna see the scores we received from LAUSD for four of our schools. We went through their reports in detail on April 29th of this year at that board meeting, and we discussed all the feedback given by LAUSD and how we can improve all of those. But tonight, next page, we are going to be focusing on the recently received reports from our authorizers, the San Diego Unified School District for our MSA San Diego. And then we received reports from Los Angeles County Office of Education for our MSA 1, 2, 3, and 5. So let's stay on that page, Jen. You know, you have the reports attached with all the details, but here I copied some of the highlights for us to, you know, review and discuss. You know, most of the report was very positive, and I didn't copy here all of the positives, but rather I copied here what I wanted to bring to our attention for, you know, improvement, so we can discuss them, you know, report to you on our, you know, progress and how we can address them. So again, all of the positives are in the report regarding how we submit our reports in a timely and accurate manner to the district, including financial reports and all accountability reports. The yellow highlight you see there, the first one is about UCP. We provided San Diego Unified School District with the total number of complaints filed in 1920 and 2021 school year. The feedback from the district was that for this current year, they want to see documentation, kind of like a system about like, the date of the complaint and number assigned to the complaint, type of the complaint, is it Title IX, UCP, you know, sexual harassment discrimination, what type, and then the date it was resolved. So they wanna see that documentation. And anytime home office colleagues, feel free to chime in, you know, Mr. Ajar or Mr. Hernandez on this one, if you wanna, add any additional comment, but this is feedback from the district and we're working on it. Mr. Sears, you too. You probably know the details more than us. Yeah, so next comment was about our website to have individual board member contact info. And that has already been addressed, right? I mean, Jennifer, I mean, Alfredo, yes. So that's been addressed already, done. The next comment for improvement was they received our FBPC approved conflict of interest code dated November 1st, 2017. They actually asked for a more recent FBPC approval. And if Jennifer or Alfredo, if you would like to.
Yeah, so this is Alfredo. So yeah, so thank you, David. I think what's important here is with all these different partnerships that we have as Magnolia, since we have four different authorizer, it's important that all of us always do our best to work together for the sole purpose of providing the highest quality education to our kids. So when we do collaborate or comments are made, we work very closely. And in this case, San Diego has been a great partner and they always work very closely with GoCon and all of us. So on any of these pieces, what we do is we try to make some of these changes right away and some others take a little bit of time in leading up to their site visit, which is going to be May 6, 2022 this year. So this one on the FPPC, we're still working with the multiple entities to get this obviously to the level we need to, which is to have it reapproved. So we're working with those entities to do that, hopefully soon, but definitely before the May 6, 2022 visit by San Diego. And I think if we keep going further down, and there's three parts to the finance, part one, part two, and part three. I think the first part talks about we're compliant and submission of reports are done timely. I think part two is specific to the audit report, which all of you as the board approved last year. And last year, because of the pandemic, there was an extension until March. So it was approved before that. So when we did receive that audit report, similar to our other authorizers, we took corrective actions at that time to address some of these matters, and specifically to those items where it says not met, not met, not met. Yes, I think that is something, again, when we talk about enrollment, and at the peak of our enrollment in San Diego, when we had 443, we were doing really well. And that's where you see the 51,000. And then obviously the pandemic hit. You know, that's something, we went down to 422, but we're seeing some good trends for next year. But I think that 51,000 is reflective of the 1920 year when we had 440. So we know that in order to meet these different metrics, we do have to increase our enrollment to the capacity of 480 or reach 465. So I think that's pretty clear here. And when you talk about the other audit report pieces, if you could scroll down a little bit more, it talks about specifically about some of the borrowing that San Diego has, you know, had to take on because of some of the enrollment deficiencies that we've now improved. It talks about kind of our plan to pay it back. And because we're paying it back over 5 years, that we do meet the criteria. And then, you know, if you go down, there's more specifics about, I think it was STRS PERS, how we're working with them. And that's the thing, I think it's important here, is that anytime there is an area that needs improvement, we are meeting with them collectively and going over how we improve our systems. And we've definitely made those strides with STRS and PERS. So when we speak to them or meet with them in May of the next year, we'll be able to say, yes, we're good. And you as a board will get to see some of these systems improvements when we do bring the 2021 audit to you at the January 13th Finance Committee, and then the regular board meeting on the 20th of January. So outstanding checks, accounts receivable, and then some of the monitoring of attendance for after school. All those, again, we're working on, and we feel we're definitely making improvement, and we'll be able to showcase that to San Diego. But I think ultimately the partnership we have with them and the collaboration, we're always, you know, pushing them to obviously give us as many resources, and they're pushing us to always have the best systems in serving our kids. So that's what gives me a sense of, yes, we're on the right path. So I'll turn it over to Gokhan or Steve, our chief financial officer, to add anything that I might have missed here specific to our partnership with San Diego Unified School District Charter School Division. Gokhan.
Good evening, board members. Thank you, Alfredo. I think it was a very clear and detailed description on what is going on in the report. And based on our communications with the school district charter office members, we don't see any concerns currently in our finances or our practices. There were, again, certain ratios that we did not meet back then, but based on the calculations from our back office provider, in the next visit, we see that we will be meeting the requirements in all the finance areas. And if anything changes, we will definitely bring it to board's attention. But we are happy that we are able to keep up based on that feedback. We were able to meet those expectations, and hopefully we will have an even stronger visit this coming May. Thank you.
And just to echo, thank you, Gokhan. And just to echo Gokhan's sentiment and Alfredo's sentiment as well, I think that we continue to strive. This is Steve Budraja, CFO. I think that we continue to strive to review our policies, review our practices, and always identify ways in which we can help strengthen our internal controls and help build better processes and better systems moving forward. I see that continue to be done, and staff collaborate and work together. So I can definitely see between now and the end of the fiscal year that we are able to continue to improve upon existing practices and build on those. And so I'm excited to be able to help mitigate some of these things and just build a good core system in place. And so, so thank you for that.
Again, there are so many positive comments in the report in academics, operations, governance, and finance, but we chose to project here areas for improvement so we can hold ourselves accountable and hopefully get a perfect report this school year. With that, we are going to move on to the next report.
Can I add a very quick comment, Mr. Yılmaz? Board and public, I want to share that the site visit report system in San Diego is different than in our LAUSD schools where we don't get points. Basically, how it works is if something is not meeting the expectations of the school district's charter offices expectations or school district's expectations, then we sit down and address that area together to make sure that we address it in a sense perfect manner to make sure that it doesn't happen again or we improve it right within that current school year. That's why we value our partnership with San Diego Unified School District, that they have been working with us closely to serve our students and community in a better way, and we appreciate their support. Thank you.
Thank you for the added context, Gökhan. And next, we are going to move to the reports provided by our partner, Leiko. And Jen, if you can project the board cover page where it starts with Leiko. The board cover page.
Board cover.
So typically, yeah, Leiko provides three reports, a governance review for overall, you know, for all four schools. So one report, governance review, a fiscal annual report, and for each school site, an instructional program overview. We have received two of those reports. The fiscal report is not ready. I mean, we have not received it from Leiko yet, and we'll bring it to the board when we receive it. But now we want to go over first the governance review. And Alfredo, you can take over.
Thank you, David. Thank you, David. So what's important from the governance review, similar to the LAUSD report, we're doing some great work. And that is, you know, highlighted there in the summary there where it talks about us being compliant with all Brown Act and any other SB 126 regulations. So that speaks to the great work and collaboration that we have with our board. And I think what's important for this report, I'm not going to go through every single section, but you know, we know that we are doing great work. We know we're following all the different statutes that we need to follow. But we always know we could improve. So we really look at the recommendations. So we could go to the recommendation section, Jen. So the summary, as I said, this is the part where I've taken 30 minutes of going through all the text to just summarize again. Five members consistent with the approved bylaws, all regular meetings, special meetings, committee meetings are compliant with the Brown Act. I wish they would tell us how we compare in terms of meetings. I think we at Magnolia probably have twice as many as any other school. But still, that's a testament to you as a board to always being open and available to you know, tackle these challenges or any of these items that need approval with us. So a review of audio recording, school and board documents and site visits indicate that parent and stakeholder involvement exists, which, yes, that's one of our staples. There have been no notices of violation and documented board complaints. The board has demonstrated effective governance and the ability to take action in alignment with the school's mission and vision. So great, that's bottom line, the work that we do. And then recommendation, board members should continue to participate in annual Brown Act trainings. So yes, we definitely always do that. The board should make every effort to have as many members physically present as possible during regularly scheduled meetings. So this is a carryover before the pandemic, and obviously Things have changed slightly, but once we do get back to in-person, this will be a focus of ours. Future board recruitment of folks should focus on membership from the local community, which is, yes, our objective moving forward. One vice chairman, and these are the two new ones that we didn't see last year that are now being highlighted here. And our partner at LACO, specifically David Downing, when he met with us, he went over this report and he kind of showed us the two areas that he was adding. So one vice chairman of the board of directors will be assigned to each county in which a charter operated by the corporation is located, which we have. So we're already there, good, but this was just put in writing. And then consider placing a parent resource tab on the MPS homepage with a link to the parent tab for each school. So this is one that he recommended. And I say, yeah, this is a great recommendation. I'll work with the OC department and the school sites to do that, to make it easily accessible for our parents and easy for them to see. And then one of the other new ones, so there wasn't two, there was three, was make sure that you do on the webpage state that LACO authorizes your school. So LACO authorized school should indicate such authorization on their school webpage. So we're also working on that to make sure that that is clear, since again, we work with four different authorizers. So that, and I think there was one more, if you could scroll down. Or I think it was on the pages
on the above. Cover page.
Yeah, on the cover page, yeah. Yeah, it was on the cover page. If you go to the cover page, I think it was just good to see. It was very consistent with, you know, recruiting board members from the community, but there was another added element there that I wanted to highlight. So keep going down. We're still at San Diego Unified. Okay, keep going.
This page, yes, the bottom of this page.
Yeah, keep going, right there. Comment on board capacity composition indicator. The governing boards represent strong diversity relevant to the community and the charter school population. In 17-18, the MPS board added two members of the community who added diversity and relevance to the school community. This was in response to LACO's concerns regarding diversity and that board meetings take place in person and within the boundaries of the area in which the school are authorized. As the MPS board has recently lost two members in Beliak, Rabbi Beliak and Charlotte Brimmer from the LA County, it will be important for MPS to seek qualified candidates for board that represent local communities. So that's we're working on with Dr. Yapanel and Sandra Covarrubias, our chair and vice chair. Obviously we brought the board handbook, and in the board handbook we detail, and we're still putting some final touches on that recruitment effort with the hopes of getting another board member from the community by the end of this year. So that in essence is the governance. I'm gonna turn it over to Erdincha Jar to go over the instructional piece, part of this report. And as I said, I think the thing that I do enjoy the most is that we do get a chance to sit down with our charter representative to go over these reports in each detail. So that really allows us a good, robust discussion. So I'm going to turn it over to you, Erdincha, to go over the instructional piece.
Good evening, board members. This is Erdincha Jar, Chief Academic Officer. With our Los Angeles County Office of Education's authorized schools, we have a yearly review of the academic programs. And for the past several years, as you know, being in the distance learning, we provided the full standards-based curriculum with instruction. And as you remember, we had waivers on assessments. So the dashboard data related achievement data is not reported for the past 2 years on the state assessments, but internally we did provide our internal assessments, NWA maps, and the authorizers visited schools, classrooms virtually After meetings with the school admin teams, we presented our practices and strategies during the distance learning. Extensive presentations made to satisfy the authorizer, and based on the virtual visits and review of documents, we have our recommendations. Schools are, all of the schools, MSA 1, 2, 3, and 5, do not have any findings. Good feedback on from the end of the authorizer, with some of the highlights in the dual enrollment and career pathways, STEM programs. The authorizers, continue recommending us to strengthen our programs, as well as continue using our internal assessments. NWA maps for the upcoming renewals getting prepared. That's going to be our state verified data and important metrics for our school's renewal in the upcoming cycle. That's all academics on the schools. And I'll turn it over back to David.
This concludes our presentation for the authorizer visit reports. Again, we are waiting for the fiscal part of the report from LACO. So this concludes all of our authorizer reports from last school year. And we would like to answer any questions the board may have.
Thank you, Mr. Inlis and team. Is there any questions or comments from the members of the public? If not, board members, do you have any questions or comments regarding this item? Perfect. If there's no questions or comments, once again, no action will be taken for this item since it's just an information discussion item. Perfect. So moving on with the agenda next, we have closed session. At this moment, I ask Mr. Mohamedov if you may please read the closed session items.
Jennifer. We will be going into a closed session. Public. We will be discussing public employment. Just 1 second. Public employment case conference in regards to real property negotiations for Magnolia Science Academy 1 and 5 at 7111 Winnetka Avenue and 18242 Sherman Way. Also, we will discuss anticipated initiation of litigation case. And after that, we'll report out. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mohamedov. With that, for those that need to attend closed session, the room has been open now. For those that are still here in open session, feel free to turn off your mics. Your cameras, we're anticipating closed session to be around 45 through 50 minutes. I'll inform you all verbally as well as over the chat. Alrighty, everyone, welcome back to open session. The time is 9:18 p.m. With that, I ask Mr. Mohamedov if you may please report out of closed session.
Yes, thank you, Jennifer. This is Mekan Mohamedov. Board discussed 3 items in its closed session. First one was public employment and directed staff to take necessary action in this regard. Secondly, discussed the real property purchases and potential negotiations for Magnolia Science Academy 1 and 5. And again, board directed the staff to take necessary actions and report back in the future. Thirdly, the board has authorized staff to investigate litigation in connection with one of its facilities and authorized Alfredo to follow up on it. That's all from closed session, Jennifer.
Thank you, Mr. Mohamedov, for reporting out. So moving on with the agenda with action items. We'll start off with 4A, approval of MSA 1 purchase of lunch tables. This will be presented by Mr. Plonka, Magnolia Science Academy 1 principal.
Good evening, board. Again, this is Brad Planka, a Magnolia Science Academy 1 principal. I am asking the board to approve our order from Hertz Furniture to purchase 40 8-foot rectangular portable tables for the lunch area. Due to our growth, we do not have a lot of space, especially due to the pandemic and providing safe space for students, enough tables already in the lunch area, as well as a lot of our tables have become over a decade old and are beginning to fall apart where the bolts are coming loose and the benches are coming loose. So we have to take those tables away. So the extra tables will provide more space for our students. This will be a budget impact of $40,809.05, but we have utilized our ESSER-3 funds to budget over $240,000 for capital improvement, and this would fall under capital improvement project with these benches. So again, I'm asking the board to recommend for approval of this purchase for Magnolia Science Academy 1. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Planka. Is there any questions or comments from the members of the public? If not, board members, do you have any questions or comments regarding this item?
This is Mekhan. Great news, Brad, and I'm sure you guys also thought about what to do with the old ones. Maybe they can be recycled or donated, or there are facilities or organizations that are in need of it. Maybe they can be given away like that.
Yeah, thank you, Mekhan. We do plan on trying to salvage as many of them as possible and utilize them in other areas of the campus for additional outdoor spacing for seating and anything else that remains that we do not need. Hopefully we can provide to other campuses. Thank you.
Thank you, Brad.
Thank you for that. Is there any further questions or comments from our board members?
I have a quick question. I checked the Hertz Furniture website. They are saying they're offering, I guess, a discount on bulk purchases. I just want to confirm that they offered a discount on this pricing.
I do believe that they did provide us a large discount because according to their site, each table was about $1,600 and we're paying significantly less for each table because we've ordered so many in bulk. Plus theirs for their tables compared to the other companies, which were the same, are coming significantly less of a cost compared to the other two quotes.
Okay, thanks. And I believe these are, manufactured for outside conditions, right? So it will be long-lasting.
Yes, these are actually the same tables that were purchased when the high school building was built for their rooftop and for the patio area, which those tables are still holding up very well. So they're the exact same tables, except those were 6 feet, and the table for this proposal are 8 feet tables. But yes, they're for outdoor use only.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you for that. Any further questions or comments from our board members? Perfect. If not, the motion is for the board of directors to grant approval to the CEO and superintendent of MPS, Alfredo Rubalcaba, to sign the agreement with Hertz Furniture to purchase 48 feet rectangular portable tables for the lunch area. With that, would a board member like to move the motion?
I'll make the motion, Covarrubias.
Thank you, Ms. Covarrubias. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Thank you, Ms. Gonzalez. With that, I'll take roll call vote. Ms. Covarrubias?
Yes.
Thank you. Dr. Yapano?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you. Dr. Dikpesh?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you, Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Mohamedov?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you to our board members. The motion carries with unanimous approval. Next, we'll move on to action item 4B, approval of the MPS Recruitment and Retention Plan. This was presented earlier to the Development and Stakeholder Committee. So with that, Ms. Covarrubias, as the chair of that committee, may you please report out.
I'm sorry, it's pretty loud. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
I'm sorry. Let me get my paperwork. Dr. Yapano, can you help me? Because I don't have my paperwork in front of me.
Dr. Yabano, can you report out of the committee meeting regarding the recruitment and retention plan?
Yes, the committee has listened to the recruitment and retention plan and has approved the recommendation that the full board approves it as presented with no changes.
Thank you for that, Dr. Yabano. Ms. Hashmirza, just to get a little bit more clarity for the rest of our community members here on the line, could you briefly go over what was discussed in the committee?
Yeah, thank you, Jennifer. Good evening, board members, MPS family and community. This is Daria Hashmirza, the HR director of Magnolia Public Schools. As the committee, the board committee mentioned, this plan was taken as an approval action item, and then it was approved earlier today for the full board to approve the recommendation, which this will serve as the MPS's recruitment and retention plan as the blueprint for recruiting, hiring, and retaining highly qualified staff members. And then as outlined, steps in the plan. This will help the HR department find the qualified team members. This will be implemented on an ongoing basis as the HR department develops processes to meet all the steps mentioned in the plan. And then this plan was presented to our C team members and then the MPS principal for feedback. And we're asking the board for the full approval. I'm not sure if you want me to go into the details of the plan, but I'm open to any questions or concerns you may have.
Thank you for that, Ms. Hashmirza, and our committee members. I'll open up the floor if there's any questions or comments from the members of the public. If not, board members, do you have any questions or comments regarding this item? Perfect. If there are no questions or comments, the motion is for the board of directors to approve the Magnolia Public Schools MPS recruitment and retention plan. With that, would a board member like to move the motion?
So moved, Yapanek.
Thank you, Dr. Yapanek. Is there a second?
I'll second it, Covarrubias.
Thank you, Ms. Covarrubias. With that, I'll take roll call vote. Ms. Covarrubias?
Yes. Hello? Yes.
Thank you. Dr. Yapano?
Yes.
Thank you. Dr. Tikbush?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you, Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Mohamedov?
Yes.
Thank you to our board members. The motion carries with unanimous approval. Next, we'll move on to 4C, approval of the 2021 through 22 first interim budget report for all MPS. This was presented to the Finance Committee. So with that, Dr. Dickbush, if you may please, as the chair for that committee, if you may please report out.
Jen, this is Alfredo, Jen. So for these ones, I think this report is pretty comprehensive, so we'll actually start off with Steve, our CFO, okay, just to do a presentation. That's what we typically do for the first interim. So with that, let's turn it over to Steve. Go for it.
Hey, good evening, everyone. So I'm going to go ahead and walk you through our first interim report. This is these are the projections for the 21-22 school year. And this is based on our July 1 budget and any information that we have between July 1 and October 31st, reflecting actuals data for approximately 5 months. And so what I'll do is suffocating back there. Just turning the heat up. So what I'll do is I'll kind of walk you through if you could. That's fine. So our projected enrollment is based on approximately 3475 ADA students. And so I'll give you the brief overview. This is the organization. These are all the 10 schools along with the educational, along with MRF And so we're looking collectively at total revenues of approximately $63 million. That's projected currently. And with expenditures coming in at $60,219,000, leaving a net surplus of approximately $2.8 million. So obviously that's a positive, and I'll go over the details. And as you'll see, each of the schools is running in the black. We're doing well in terms of, actually, if you could just leave it right there, please. That's good. So each of the schools is running in the black, and overall our projected ending fund balance collectively is approximately $44.6 million. So that gives us a very sustainable reserve, a very healthy ending fund balance. And as you'll see here, I'll go by each site and I'll kind of detail for you from MSA 1 all the way through to the San Diego site, kind of where we are in terms of financials. And so, that's much better. So if we'll go ahead and start with MSA 1, we're looking at approximately $12.3 million worth of revenues, with expenditures coming in about $10.8 million, leaving a net surplus of approximately $1.45 million. That obviously adds to our fund balance, and that school has already a favorable beginning balance. And so with that $8 million beginning balance, along with the additional surplus in revenues, we're looking at a projected ending fund balance of approximately $99.5 million. And reserve requirements range, you know, between 5% down. And so this school, as you can see, we're at 87% ending fund balance, very healthy reserve, very good fund balances. So we seem to be doing well here. We've got a nice surplus. And so moving over to MSA 2, similarly, we've got a surplus there as well. And I'll start with about $7.1 million worth of revenues, offset by about $6.3 million worth of expenditures, leaving a net surplus of approximately $816,000. And again, that $816,000 carries over, adding that to our beginning fund balance, we get about $3.85 million left over, with about a 61% reserve for MSA 2. And so moving on to MSA 3, we're looking at about $6.64 million worth of revenues, and offset by $6.5 million worth of expenditures, leaving a net surplus of about $113,000. We have a positive ending fund balance. We have approximately $2.2 million already available, which adds to our fund balance. And so we're looking at closing out the year with approximately $2.3 million for MSA 3. So taking a look at MSA 4, we are looking at, obviously this site has its challenges. And so we don't have as robust of a fund balance, but we do have $2.1 million worth of revenues, offset by about a little over $2 million worth of expenditures. But we're still projecting that we are going to have a balanced budget and some money left over at the end of the fiscal year at approximately $85,000, leaving a projected ending fund balance of $1.3 million. And again, you know, we've got healthy reserves here. And so so the school is doing fine from a financial standpoint. Moving over to MSA 5, we're looking at $4 million, a little over $4.05 million worth of revenues, and expenditures at approximately $3.67 million, leaving a net surplus of $385,000. Again, adding that to our already our beginning fund balance is already in excess of $3 million. We're looking to close out the year with approximately $3.4 million. Again, balanced budget, healthy reserves, and positive ending fund balance. MSA 6, this is another site where, you know, obviously there's some challenges in terms of being able to meet capacity and enrollment. So we're still looking at $1.8 million worth of revenues, along with close to that $1.785 worth of expenditures. Not as significant of a surplus here, but we are still projecting a positive net gain at the end of the fiscal year of approximately $26,569. And that still leaves us with, if you offset that, if you add that to our beginning fund balance, we're still looking at about $2.43 million worth of ending fund balance for the year. So it's still a balanced budget, and we still have sufficient reserves to meet our financial obligations here at MSA 6. So going and moving on to MSA 7, again, $4.3 million here. We've got enrollment that's close to 300, so 260 approximately ADA. And so we've got expenditures of $4.24 million. And again, a surplus of about $87,000 here with an ending fund balance of roughly $2.6 million at fiscal year end. And then going on to MSA 8, we're looking at $6.04 million in revenues, offset by $5.9 million worth of expenditures, leaving a surplus of about approximately $138,000. And again, we're looking at ending fund balance here of $6.25 million with a sufficient reserve of 106% approximately. So we have money left over. And I'll talk to you a little bit about some of the nature of these funds, and you've seen how we've got plans as we talked about in the educator effectiveness plan earlier this evening, about how we have good details of how we use our monies, and especially one-time monies. So going on to MSA Santa Ana, we're looking at close to $8.5 million worth of revenues. Offset by $8.37 worth of expenditures, leaving a net surplus of approximately $93,000. And again, we had a $9.1 million beginning fund balance, which this $93,000 surplus adds to that and gives us about $9.2 million projected ending June 30th of 2022. And going on to MSA San Diego, looking at $4.7 million worth of revenues, offset by $4.67 worth of expenditures, leaving a surplus of approximately $40,000, just a little hair under $40,000, and an ending fund balance of approximately $1.26 million. And again, we're able to, with all the schools that I've listed there, we've been able to maintain a positive ending fund balance, meet our payroll and other expenditure obligations during the year. So that's obviously a positive. And then now this is the Educational Foundation. Obviously no direct funding here, no LCFF revenues or federal or other state. We really just have the local revenues here, and we're projecting $5.45 million worth of revenues coming in, offset by approximately $5.9 million worth of expenditures, leaving us a deficit of about $437,000. But again, we do have a sufficient projected fund balance from the beginning of the year of $3 million, which does offset and bring us down to close to $2.6 million. However, taking a look at some of our financials, I think that we will, over the course of between now and getting into next year and into closer as we get into the spring and the summer, I think we'll be able to try to make a dent into that deficit and maybe find some ways to help curb that deficit so that we can maybe reduce it down from its current size. So all in all, a positive. Each of the schools is doing well from a financial standpoint. We're getting sufficient LCFF revenues. Each of the schools, as you all know, we have a significant population of students that qualify for either free and reduced lunch or fall under a category of EL or foster care youth. So we're able to get that additional supplemental and concentration grant funding. And so that really helps us in terms of getting additional revenues, along with some of the one-time monies we've gotten from the CARES Act and from the ESSR and some other programs. So those monies, we obviously have plans to utilize that funding in a strategic manner that the sites deem fit for their own individual school. I think it's great to be able to use those plans and incorporate that into the budget and be able to see positives occur at each of the sites, and while still keeping an eye on financials and being able to to meet our financial obligations for the year. And so based on everything I've shared with you, the entity as a whole is doing well financially. And I look forward to getting into January and being able to kind of really work with the site principals at each site and sharing information in regards to their budget and developing some strategies to help them allocate resources for their students and really help to develop some concrete plans closing out the fiscal year and moving into the next fiscal year. And so with that, I'll take any questions if anyone would like to ask any questions.
Thank you, Steve. Is there any questions or comments from the members of the public? If not, board members, do you have any questions or comments regarding this item? Perfect. If there's no questions and comments, the motion is for the board to approve the 2021 through 22 first interim report as the most recent revised budget for the 2021 through 22 fiscal year. With that, would a board member like to move the motion?
I move the motion.
Thank you, Dr. Dikbash. Is there a second?
Seconded, Mekhan.
Thank you, Mr. Mohamedov. With that, I'll take roll call vote. Ms. Kovarubia?
Yes.
Yes. Dr. Yabino? Dr. Yabino? Dr. Dikbash?
Yes.
Thank you, Ms. Covarrubias. Sorry, Ms. Gonzalez.
Yes.
Thank you. Mr. Mohamedov.
Yes.
Thank you for that. Dr. Yabino? Let's see. All right. For minutes purposes, Dr. Yabino left at 9:42 p.m., so he will not be counted for this vote. Regardless, the motion still carries. Next, we'll move on to action item 4D, approval of form of purchase and sell agreement for the acquisition of the property located at 7111 Winnetka Avenue for MSA 5. This was discussed during the audit and facilities committee. So with that, I ask Mr. Mohamedov, as the chair, may you please report out?
Yes, thanks, Jennifer. This is Mekhan Mohamedov. We discussed the approval of the purchase and sale agreement for acquisition of the property located at 7111 in Winnetka Avenue in Winnetka. So this is a potential site that the team has been looking for in the Valley area. The main significant points of, and I will ask Patrick to go over the exhibit, it's in a minute, but the main points of this particular purchase is, which is valued at around $9.45 million. We will be entering into an agreement that gives us about 90 days to do our due diligence and basically to do our homework in terms of if this is a suitable site for us, can we meet the enrollment numbers, can we budget accordingly, and also to make sure that we're not missing anything and using Pacific Charter School Development as a potential developer and getting their opinion and their input into this project. After the free look, within 90 days, we have another 30-day extensions for this purchase and sale. So say after 90 days, if we think that we need a bit more time so we can buy more time by paying about $15,000 in order to get the process started, though, we will be putting down $200,000, of which can be fully refunded within the first 90 days. Patrick, if I may, could you please go quickly over the exhibits, potential how we would fit the students into this location quickly for the public.
Yes, hi, this is Patrick Ontiveros, General Counsel and Director of Facilities. So just as Board Member McCon just mentioned, as Exhibit A, we have the form of purchase and sale agreement. As you, you know, I just a step back, we previously signed a letter of intent for this transaction, which spelled out the, you know, the essential terms and conditions. Obviously, this is a legal contract, and so it reflects all of those terms and conditions, as well as, you know, more details. So this is on a standard AIR form. It is a industry standard form that was reviewed and modified by our own attorneys. And where we are with this is we sent a draft to the owner and their attorney. They reviewed it, came back with some comments and changes. We reviewed them and instructed our attorney to circle back with owner's attorney to finalize. So it's still in the negotiation phase, but we're hoping that we'll get resolution on open issues. And once that happens, we'll be in a position to sign it and open escrow, make the good faith deposit, and commence our formal due diligence. We've been doing some due diligence ever since we first identified the property, so we'll just continue to do that. But that, in effect, is what this exhibit is all about. As an exhibit to the report, we just, to kind of as a refresher memory, we included a map that shows the target property vis-a-vis MSA 1 and MSA 5 on Sherman Way. It's about 2.4 miles away from that location. And if you think about, you know, this new target property in relation to MSA 5's last home, which was at Reseda High School, it's about 3.5 miles. So this is just here to orient you better. And finally, this is the site plan that comes directly from ZMIS, the mapping program, used by the Department of City Planning of City of Los Angeles. So here it shows you, the zoning for the property. It is zone RAS4, which allows a school to be placed there by right, meaning there is no requirement for a zone change or conditional use permit, making it attractive and, you know, less expensive and less arduous from that perspective. So with that, I'm also happy to answer any other questions you may have. Thank you.
Thank you, Patrick. Absolutely. This is a challenging and at the same time an exciting project. And I very much would like to thank the C team for working on this and informing us on a routine basis. That's it from the committee meeting, Jennifer. Back to you.
Alrighty, thank you, Mr. Mohamedov. Thank you, Ms. Ontiveros. With that, I'll open it up if there's any public comments regarding this item. If there's no public comments, board members, do you have any questions or comments regarding this item? Perfect. If not, the motion is for the board to 1, approve the form of purchase and sell agreement attached as Exhibit A, the PSA, for the acquisition of the real property located at 7111 Winnetka Avenue, Winnetka. The property approximately 2.5 miles away from the Magnolia Science Academy 1 campus in Reseda. to grant the MPS CEO and superintendent the authority to negotiate and approve such changes to the PSA as he shall deem necessary and appropriate and in the best interest of MPS, and to sign and deliver the same in order to approve escrow for the acquisition of the property. And three, grant the MPS CEO and superintendent the authority to assign the PSA to a wholly owned subsidiary of Magnolia Properties Management, Inc. for the purposes of financing and closing the transaction, or to a wholly owned subsidiary of Pacific Charter School Development, Inc., a California nonprofit public benefit corporation focused on developing facilities, charter schools, PCSD. With that, would a board member like to move the motion?
I'll move the motion, Diane Gonzalez.
Thank you, Ms. Gonzalez. Is there a second?
Seconded, Mia Khan.
Thank you, Mr. Mohamedov. With that, I'll take roll call vote. Ms. Valerovia?
Yes.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Dikbash.
Yes.
Thank you, Dr. Dikbash. Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Mohamedov.
Yes.
Thank you to our board members. The motion carries. And that concludes all of our items for tonight's meeting. At this moment, I ask Mr. Mohamedov if you may please adjourn. The time is 9:51 p.m.
Yes, thank you, everyone. I'd like to adjourn the regular Magnolia Public Schools board meeting.
Thank you, everyone, for staying here tonight. Have a great night.
Good night, everyone.
Thank you, everybody. Bye. Bye. Have a great night. Take care.
Take care.
Bye. Bye-bye. Thank you. Have a good night, everyone.
Good night.